Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey. Over a decade ago, attorney Michael Bailey turned his attention to estate law after he recognized the unacceptable number of adults without proper end-of-life planning. Michael recognizes that many of his clients have difficulty finding the time for making a proper estate plan. That's why he became the Mobile Estate Planner. He will go to wherever you are to assist you with your estate planning, including writing wills, trusts, and giving you the information you need to avoid probate. Now, ATX, Ask the Experts, presents Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 AM KLZ, The Source, so that we can leave your family something besides just alone. In addition to listening to us on 560 AM, you can listen to us on 1220 AM, 95.3 FM, 100.7 FM, 560thesource.com, and the TuneIn app. Someday that won't be nearly as cool that I have those all memorized and just can go through them, but hey, today it's good. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600, and my direct line is 720-394-6887. As always, I'll issue the warning that if you call my direct line, I'll probably look at my phone and be like, yep, I can talk to you later, and I'll let you talk to a voicemail, and then I'll call you back. But if you want to talk to me on air, that's the 303-477-5600 number. Now, one of the things I talk about, you know, mobile estate planning, I've talked about that before, how I come to see you, or I'll make house calls or meet you at one of my offices around the metro area. I love it when people are like, oh, you're way up in Broomfield. I can't possibly see you. I'm like, where do you live? Cherry Creek. Well, I do have an office in Cherry Creek. Oh, well, you have to come up with a new excuse to blow me off. That's cool, too. Either way is fine. I'm good. But, you know, in addition to that, I always talk about, it's even on my website, have a plan, not just documents. So we pose the question to you, when have you ever done anything in your portfolio with it? I'm going to try that again. When have you ever done anything in your life that is important without a plan? Rarely? Never? If you're like, no, I live my life according to the whims of what I'm doing, and I'm a free spirit. I float on the breeze. I have no plans. I'm like, really? You don't even think of anything in your head of what you want to happen before you move forward. Well, no, I just kind of go with, come on now. Let's think for a minute before we speak. Okay, most people don't bother to think before they speak anyway. But, you always have a plan. It may not be, your plan may change. You may have a flexible plan. Your plan doesn't have to be a formal written out, okay, well, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to formulate a plan of my next, 20 years. Or as, was done in elementary school, you played the MASH game, the mansion, apartment, shack and house. And then I think you had the names of whoever depending on who you were, girls or guys that you liked, and how much money you were going to make, and number of kids or dogs or something like that. And you did the little swirly thing. Or maybe nobody out there played MASH besides people that I knew. That MASH is not much of a plan. You're like, look, I'm going to live in a shack. I'll have 18 kids, apparently. I'm going to marry little Susie. Well, little Susie is not my favorite, but okay. And, I'll have a cat. All right, sweet. Well, as a dog person, because I like dogs personally. My wife is allergic to cats, and so is my daughter, so we don't do well with cat hair. So we have puppy dogs. Having a cat may not have been the best plan. But if you try to set up a plan that's like that, that's not much of a plan. And sometimes people are like, oh, well, I've got a will. I just did that. I'm like, really? Where'd you do it? Well, I just got it offline. Okay, cool. What happens if you get hurt in a car accident? Then what? Well, we'll figure that out when we get there. Well, maybe a little bit too late. Or you could be like my client where, my client called me just a couple days ago and she had gone to the bank with her dad. And when they were at the bank, they were trying to add her name to an account, that was a joint account that mom and dad. So mom and dad had a joint account. And mom and dad's joint account wouldn't allow – so you need to have both mom and dad sign off and say, yep, okay, we're going to go ahead and allow the daughter to be added as the signer. Well, mom has mental incapacity issues. She has got Alzheimer's / dementia.
she's not able to she can't handle her own affairs. So the dad had a power of attorney, and the power of attorney allowed him to act on mom's behalf, so we were good. Except for when they went to sign daughter up, the people at the bank said, well, we can't have dad sign to give authority to daughter on behalf of mom. Because if you have a power of attorney, it works like this. Power of attorney only gives certain powers to people. And one of the things under Colorado law that needs to be specifically line-itemed out is that if the person who to whom you give power is able to, you know, need, or wants to transfer that power to somebody else. So if you're an agent under power of attorney and then you want to, you know, delegate that power to somebody else, that has to be specifically allowed and explicitly written into a power of attorney. Some powers of attorney have that, others don't. For most people, it's not super important, so we don't worry about it. But in this case, where the power of attorney they had written several years, you know, probably a decade ago, when it was before it had to be specifically listed out, it wasn't in there. So the power of attorney was still fine. It just didn't allow that person to him to delegate his authority to a daughter. So they were very concerned about this. They're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? I mean, you know, can we write a new power of attorney? I said, well, here's the deal. We've got a little bit of an issue of, we've got a little bit of stuff, where we're not going to be able to have our, you know, if you've got mental capacity issues, we're not going to be able to just have the person sign a new power of attorney. It doesn't work that way. They're like, oh, well, that's too bad. You know, I guess I run into that quite a bit where people will say, okay, well, I've got a power of attorney, or I need to get a power of attorney for my mom, or I need to get a power of attorney for my dad. And I talk about, we've got a, you know, things like that, where we can't just do that. We can't just have it set up. We can't just say, okay, well, I'm going to get power of attorney for somebody else. Because the person who is creating the power of attorney, the person who's giving away their power, who is allowing somebody else to make decisions for them, they need to receive, they need to be mentally competent to know what they're doing to delegate that power to somebody else. That's an important thing. And if you don't have that, if you don't have mental capacity or mental competency to be able to do that, then we run into trouble and we run into problems. So now we're like, oh, okay, well, now we have an issue, and what are we going to do? So we look at it and we think to ourselves, okay, well, that's not going to work so well. What should we do instead? So we take and we go, all right, here's our problem. We can't just, you know, have somebody take, you know, you can't create a power of attorney for somebody else. You can give somebody else power to make decisions for you, but you can't take that power from somebody, if that makes sense. And so this person, you know, their document was there, but what they wanted to do, their plan had changed. And they hadn't changed their plan before mom ended up having mental capacity issues. So it was problematic. So, you know, it's an example of where your plan needs to change, and you need to keep up on your plan, and just having a document may not accomplish what you want. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ The Source, also heard on 1220 AM, 95.3 FM, 100.7 FM, online at 560thesource.com, and on the TuneIn app. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. So, you know, we get to, you know, so that's one example of how you can have a plan or not have a plan, and, you know, we have issues. So, I mean, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, I don't need an estate plan. I don't have very much money at all. I mean, everybody needs a will. That may be an estate plan. It may be a simple plan, but it's still a plan. And, you know, and then people get into like, oh, well, can't I just do the same thing online? Well, I've talked about that before. I kind of think things this way. If you look at, if you're watching cars go by, you're like, wow, look at all those cars. And suddenly, so a Ford Pinto drives by. You're like, ooh, there's a Ford Pinto. And then a Ferrari Testarossa drives by. You're like, ooh, there's a Ferrari. Those are both called cars. Are they the same? I don't think so. I mean, Ralph Nader wrote a book called Unsafe at Any Speed, talking about the Ford Pinto. And, you know, how if you ran into the back of the Ford Pinto, it was likely to explode. This is bad, we hear. You know, exploding cars, bad. Not good for preserving life. A Ferrari Testarossa, I suppose you can get it going really fast, and if you crash it, then it might explode. But, you know, they're both called cars, but they're very different things. Similarly, you can have something that is called a will, or something that's called a power of attorney, or something that's called a living will, that doesn't necessarily serve the same purpose as one that's designed and set up by an attorney and, you know, all the degrees together. I had a client who were supposed to sign their will on this Friday, and he wrote me and he said, well, you know, I don't like what the, you know, financial power of attorney, I don't, you know, I want it to be written this way and I don't want it to do this. I said, okay. He says, well, and I don't want my agent or the power of attorney to be able to change the final distribution of my assets under the will. It needs to be this way and you need to make sure this. I'm like, okay, right. So I love it when my clients cross into the, well, you need to do this and you need to make sure. And I'm like, as if somehow anybody's going to listen to me and I'm going to be the final authority and be like, nope, I'm sorry. I understand that you, the probate court, said this, and possibly even the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court agreed with you. But hey, I'm Michael Bailey, and I'm going to tell you how it is. Yeah, not how it goes. I listen to what the Supreme Court and the judges and the legislature tell me, and then I help your plan to fit into the rubric and the way in which they set things up, because they're the ones that get to make the laws. I just help, you know, make sure that you comply with them and are inside of the rules of those laws. Because, you know, that nobody asks me for some reason. You know, I am not an elected senator and I'm not a judge.
Hey, couldn't I just be like a really good person my whole life and hope that when I go, everything goes where it's supposed to go?
That is a good plan. It's called the hope plan. I really trust the government and I want to have the Colorado intestate statute, which means to die without a will, I believe that will accomplish everything that I want. And I understand all the nuances of the Colorado intestate statute. I know how it will work, and I am A-okay with it. Now, Dave, do you know the Colorado intestate statute? Do you know all of those provisions?
I thought you were saying intestate statute.
Intestate statute.
I thought, yeah, but I didn't. So, no, I don't know anything about
You know the intestate statute?
No. Yeah, I've seen it. I thought it was by the Capitol building. Right?
It is. That is, in fact, the intestate statute. It's invisible, so I'm happy that you can see it. But
that's why I was so confused.
All right. Yeah, I mean, so how many of the provisions of the intestate statute do you know, Dave?
I didn't know there were any.
You didn't know there were any?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what that means. I mean, I assume that it goes to a judge. I just would assume that it would go to a judge, and then the judge would try his best to go, to be fair, right?
No, actually. There's a whole set of rules of how it's supposed to happen.
Oh.
So we look at, are you married? Okay, cool. Well, then your spouse is going to get some of it. Do you have kids? Yes. Are they kids of both you and your spouse? Yes. Okay, then the spouse gets it and not necessarily the kids. Do you have kids? Yes. Are they from the same spouse? No. This is the second marriage type of situation where you've got a second marriage and you've got kids from a first marriage and possibly kids from a second marriage. Now we end up splitting things between all of those people, even if the spouse is alive. You know, people assume, well, if I'm married, everything just goes to my spouse. Maybe, maybe not. Then we get into the question of what happens if you die without, you know, what happens if your spouse dies first and you have no kids? Do you love your brothers and sisters? Do you want to give them all your money? Because that's what you're doing. What about grandpa and grandma or mom and dad? You want to give to them? That's maybe what you're doing. And then we run into the question of, you know, dollar amounts for exempt property and dollar amounts for family allowances and dollar amounts to be given to a spouse if a spouse is left out. And it gets super complicated. I actually had a client just last night who asked me, so what are the percentages? And I said, you know, I really don't know them off the top of my head. Every time somebody asks me, I have to look them up on the statute because, you know, the legislature can change a statute from time to time. And since I play more in the planning world than in the administration world, I don't, you know, just have those memorized. So That makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it?
So that happens even if you're a really, really good person?
Yes. You can be a really good person or a really bad person or somewhere in between, or like me, where, you know, it depends on the day whether I'm good, bad, or otherwise. You know, the character of a person doesn't make, you know, doesn't really affect much. You know, it's, you know, really good people, you know, really bad people. It's just what's happening to your stuff when you're dead. And it's certainly not a moral judgment of, ooh, you're a good person, you did this. Ooh, you're a bad person, you did that. And now we're going to split up assets differently.
Wouldn't it be nice though, like that?
It would. I mean, but then again, if we had a more, I don't guess, a theocratic government where we could reward the good and punish the bad, and, you know, I mean, good and bad are very interesting subjective terms of, you know, what I think is good may not be what everybody else think is good. And there's certain basic concepts we can agree upon. I mean, when I was in college, I was a teaching assistant for an American Heritage course, which is a general overview of American history, politics, political science, and economics. And my professor had this concept of what he called the good. And it was kind of the basic concepts we can all agree upon. He used the analogy of a tree, where a tree is like the tree trunk, and you want to base your society on the core beliefs that we can have as a society. Things like, you know, human life is sacred. You know, most people are going to agree with that. Murder is bad. Hey, look at that. Wow. We agree that murder is bad. Okay, now what's murder? Is it murder if your country tells you that you're a soldier and you're supposed to go out and shoot at the soldiers from the other country? Is that murder? Some people will say yes. Some people will say no. Is it murder if you're like, I don't know, that was the HBO show Dexter, where you are a silly serial killer, but you're actually ridding the world of other bad people who are other bad serial killers? Is that murder? Is that okay? In the world of Dexter, it's, you know, not
necessarily. Well, Dexter was really good at it.
Oh, there you go. So if you're a really good murderer, that makes it okay. Is that what you're saying, Dave?
I'm just saying this. I guess you're right. Good is really subjective, because you could be really good at murdering people and that's not so good.
Right. We use the same word, good.
Yeah. Oh, that's not so good, though. That's what I meant.
It's not so good, but you're really good at it.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing that we know who is good and who is bad. I mean, you know, okay. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that it is good to respect other people and not be a complete and total jerk. That's the peachy version of that word, to other people. I mean, I can be a partial jerk from time to time, and usually I try to be funny about it, but I'm usually not like, no, I hate you, you're an idiot, you're stupid, you're dumb, and you just took my parking spot. So I'm going to go full, what was that movie? Fried Green Tomatoes, where the two girls pull in front of Kathy Bates' character, so she hits the car
and
like
15 times.
I got
really good insurance.
She's like, what are you doing? Because the girls are like, we're younger and faster. And she says, yeah, I'm older and I have more insurance. You know, that's not how I live my life. I'm not going to be like, oh, you screwed up. Now I'm going to smash your car with my car. Hey. Well, mostly because it would damage my car.
Now, that made me think of something, too, because my brother is really good at being a jerk. So.
Uh-huh. Right. So, you know, good, bad, or otherwise, I mean, it's one of those things that in law school, when I started law school, I'm like, okay, what's right and what's good, that should be what's reflected in the law. Well, the right, good, and what's legal don't always necessarily meet up with each other. Would you agree with that, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, and we can have disagreements about what is and is not good and what is and is not reasonable. And that doesn't make us, you know, that doesn't make me always right or you always right. It doesn't make, you know, I mean.
We'd need Socrates to really have a good conversation about this.
I don't know. So sometimes you're like, oh, well, this is what everybody says. And I'm like, okay. So I mean, sometimes I feel like government gets reduced to the argument of 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, the country says this? Well, gee, it must be that way then.
Yeah.
I saw a political cartoon once where there's a passenger on an airplane and he's standing up the front. He's like, I feel like the pilots are out of touch with us passengers. We need to vote to replace them so that we can have people who understand our needs. Okay. I hope there's a pilot on board, because operating a plane has some specific set of skills that you need. And it has some pretty technical knowledge that you really want to be able to follow. You can't just be like, oh, yes, well, I will go ahead and I'm going to lead a revolt, so now we're all the same. And, you know, these pilots who think they think they're better than us, they sit up at the front of the plane. We'll get them. Well, no, that's not going to play very well. Because you want somebody who's skilled and has the ability to guide you. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 AM KLZ, The Source. Also heard on 1220 AM, 95.3 FM, 100.7 FM. Online at 560thesource.com and on the TuneIn app. Phone number to talk to us on air is 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. So using my pilot analogy, you know, am I the pilot? Am I the one that determines where we go and, you know, how everything has to happen? No, not necessarily. As clients, you can tell me what you want to accomplish in your estate plan. Sometimes you may not know. I've been through the process a lot of times, so I can ask you questions to help, you know, draw out your answers and figure out what we need to do. But, you know, you go through and you want to navigate your own, you know, navigating everything yourself and trying to figure everything out yourself. You know, the legal world, I mean, it may not be super complicated. I mean, it's not like, you know, some people I think believe the legal world is, okay, well, here's a rule and it governs this situation. And that there's every situation that might come up, there's a rule that says this is what is supposed to happen. And it all plays out like that. Well, I don't know that I'd want to live under a government that had a rule for every single situation. You know, it's kind of like every time somebody says, well, there ought to be a law. I'm kind of like, maybe there ought not to be a law. We could figure it out on our own. But, you know, hey, that's my particular bias and I understand that. But there are certain things that people want to try to do. And of course, everybody wants to do everything as quickly as possible, as cheaply as possible, and as right as possible. Now, my brother is an engineer. He works for one of the companies that makes the big windmills that generate electricity. And he's a fan of the saying, you can have it right, you can have it quick, and you can have it cheap. Pick two of the three. And you know, not all three at once. So, you know, it's not, I suppose in the engineering world it applies a lot, but, you know, not necessarily here. But people, I've never met somebody who's like, you know what? I just have a super, super, super complex situation, and I'd really like to pay you a ton of money so that you can figure it out for me. And I say, oh, really? That's so exciting. Why don't you just give me money, and I'll figure out your complex situation. Now, most people are like, yeah, my situation's super easy. I'm like, all right, cool. No, my super, you know, my basic estate plans cost $500. Okay. So we sit down, and they're like, well, you know, I have, you know, I'm on my third marriage and I have kids from all three of them and I don't like my second wife a lot at all. And, you know, the kids from that marriage have sided with her, so I don't want to leave them anything. And I came into the third marriage with this many assets. My partner came in with this many assets and we want to make sure we keep them separate and they get to the same person. And also I want to leave everything to my dog. And I say, your definition of simple and mine do not cross very well. And I'm not saying that everybody's situation is complex. You know, it's like, okay, I want to leave things to my spouse. Cool. Not to my spouse and then to the kids. Great. And if not the kids, then the grandkids. All right, cool. We're still in simple land. We haven't left, and we, you know, but all of these things get into a plan and they get into why we need to plan and how we need to plan. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey on 560 AM, The Source, also heard on 1220 AM. 95.3 FM, 100.7 FM, 560thesource.com, and on the TuneIn app. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600, and my direct line is 720-394-6887. Now, when you're putting an estate plan together, you can have multiple documents. You know, documents make up an estate plan. Yeah, you want to plan out what you're going to do so the documents all work together. Because sometimes you get documents that don't work together. A few weeks ago, I got a call from somebody at 4:53 p.m. on a Friday, which I'm like, yes, this is exciting. She says, you know, I have a client who's trying to sell a house, but their trust has some kind of weird provisions. Can I just send it over and you'll take a look at it? I said, I can do that on Monday morning. Well, but we're supposed to show the house this weekend. How come you can't do it right now? I said, because I'm in the car on the way home. I'm taking my daughter out for dinner. And then it's the weekend. And, you know, 4:53 p.m. on a Friday may not be the greatest time. So, you know, she did send the trust over. I looked at it on the Monday morning, and these people had done a trust, and then later on they had done an amendment to the trust. And the amendment to the trust purported to say, this is what will happen to the assets if you sell the real property, the real estate in the trust. And, you know, how it was supposed to be distributed out. Like, okay, that's cool. Well, now the lady who lived in a house here in Colorado, which was a 5-bedroom house, and, you know, she wanted to sell it and move to a 1-bedroom condo in Arizona. So she's like, well, I can just sell the house and then use the proceeds to buy a new house. Except that the trust said, well, no, if you sell the house, it's supposed to be split up amongst the kids. Okay. Well, that's what that part of the trust said. Then another part of the trust said, well, the person who created the trust can split, you know, can insert different assets. So you can take this 5-bedroom house and switch it out for another type of house. Or, you know, you can control the investments inside of the house, or sorry, inside of the trust. You can switch it out. You can pay all of the money from the proceeds of the trust out to the mom who was the remaining person who created the trust. And so the trust disagreed with itself, and various provisions had, you know, which provision was going to control, which provision was going to be correct, which provision was going to be the, I don't know, keep thinking of the word dispositive. I'm like, I don't know, controlling or overarching, or the one that was the one that needed to be taken, that took precedence. Well, I advise them that maybe they should try to figure that out amongst the mom and the kids before they move forward with selling the house. Now, last I heard, that was not the course of action that they took. And so that became an interesting question of, and I was trying to get them so they could avoid having a fight. But you want to make sure that your plan agrees with itself, because if it disagrees with itself, you create all sorts of problems and have all sorts of fights. This is why we have a plan, not just documents, and you want to deal with somebody who knows how to create those plans. So thanks for listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 AM The Source. John Rush is up next, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks and bye.
Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey will return to ATX next Wednesday at 2:30 here on KLZ 560 The Source, AM 560, FM 100.7, and online at 560thesource.com.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.